Welcome to Upstream, a source of ideas and encouragement for courageous priests and the people who support and work with them, who are swimming against the currents of an increasingly hostile world in order to bring Jesus to that world. This is our third episode. This is Pat Lencioni, your host. I'm joined by Matt Rudolph, my co-host. And Matt, what is today's topic?
Pat, today we're talking about the unmentionable H word.
Yes. The unmentionable H word. Now, many of you might be thinking that that word is hell, because sometimes in some churches, we don't like to talk about hell, which is not good because it's real. Jesus talks about it. But today we're going to be talking about something that might be even less pleasant than hell for some priests. And that is, we're going to talk about homilies. Now, before you turn off your radio, I know you're not listening on a radio, but before you turn the dial, I want you to understand that this is going to be what I would call a countercultural look at homilies. It's not going to be the typical one because, you know, opinions about homilies are like noses, Matt. Everyone has one. And every priest stands out there after Mass and people come up and say, hey, Father, you did this or you could do this. And I know how painful that is. And the last thing a priest needs is anyone being condescending or judgmental or picky about things. We want to come to you in a place of love to help you in some way that could be practical and positive with your homilies. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today, right, Matt?
Yeah, Pat. And I think it's really important to just acknowledge that some priests are self-aware enough to know that homilies and preaching is not their natural gift. And we've talked about working genius and growing in self-awareness of the things you're good at, the things you're not naturally good at. This is one of those things, Pat, if you're not naturally gifted in homilies, this is something that makes a huge impact on people's experience at Mass and their ability to encounter the Lord. Homilies are something every priest should be working on and getting better at.
And a lot of priests have a lot of angst around this because it's not their natural thing. And we want to take that angst away from them too. You know, because as I'll say later, homilies aren't the definition of your priesthood, but they are an important thing that you do. And we want to talk to you about that in a very practical way. Now, the other thing I want to say is that, well, let's deconstruct homilies right now. So let's take the pressure off a little bit. First of all, let's make it very clear that the homily is not the centerpiece of the Mass. Now, we all know that, but let me tell you how this was driven home for me recently. I've become friends recently with a very well-known evangelical pastor, a non-Catholic evangelical pastor. Most of the people listening to this have probably heard of this guy. A dear person. Well, recently he ran a mega church for a while. He recently took an interest in the church fathers and church history and has become fascinated by and drawn to the Eucharist, which is a wonderful thing. I had a chance to go to Mass with him recently, which is interesting, sitting next to this famous evangelical pastor and listening to my pastor do a homily. And he said something to me very interesting, that was very interesting, that I can't wait to share with all the priests that are listening to this and everybody else. He said, the podium, the lectern should not be the center of the church experience. It should be the altar. Hmm. Now, this is from a mega church pastor. He said, it should be the altar. So he was saying, too often we put too much emphasis on the homily. And if you go to an evangelical church and many Protestant churches, and God bless our brothers and sisters in faith, but there is a huge emphasis put on a very long talk. And the pastor preps for it because that's the main thing they do. And it's very consumer oriented. People are going there because like, I'm going to get the best homily I can ever have. And what this guy told me is the homily should be sermons, as they call them, should be shorter. They should be not the center of the experience of going to church. It should be the altar. Wow. And he said it should all be about the word of God, not some random person's, you know, interpretation of something that's kind of related to it, designed to keep people in the pews entertained. Well, when I heard that from an evangelical megachurch pastor, I thought, I want to share that with my Catholic brother, the priests out there. I'm not a priest, but we consider you our brothers, and let you know that people are coming around to this idea that this is not meant to be entertainment. And I just want you to know that. That's the second thing. Not only is the homily not supposed to be the center of the Mass, it's not meant to be entertainment, all right? And because sometimes we think, you know, it's supposed to be consumerism and attracting people to come to Mass because they're funny or entertaining, like a performer. And the homily is just one part of the liturgy. And yes, it should be good, but in its proper place. And we're not supposed to evaluate homilies like we would a movie or a comedian or any other performer. You know, I come home from Mass sometimes and my wife will say, how was Mass? And what we used to think was that was, hey, how entertaining was the homily? And that's not right. How it should be. Can you relate to that, Matt?
Yeah, Pat, big time. And I actually have a question for you. What are your thoughts? There's a lot of priests that try to engage with people and make something relevant by telling a joke or a story that oftentimes has nothing to do with, or sometimes an entire homily can be all stories that have nothing to do with the Word of God and breaking that open. What do you think about jokes in an attempt to make things more entertaining or interesting or break the ice? What do you think about that?
You know, I don't like to have absolutes because you say you shouldn't joke during anything, or you should always have a joke at the beginning, you know, and I've had priests who always told a joke at the beginning. In fact, my family would joke because he'd always say a joke. And at the end, he'd go, that was only a joke. And it became kind of our own humor. Like, okay, what's he going to say this time? And yet I went to Mass this morning and I was getting ready to do this podcast. And I said, okay, Father Wayne, what's your homily going to be like? And it was beautiful. It was right out of the gospel and it was really convicting. But then he told this story that was so relevant and so convicting, and it was funny, but it was not funny because it was designed to be that way. It was just so human. And you know, there are some priests that are really good at using humor to bring about the gospel, and others who humor isn't that their natural thing. And I would say whatever works to bring the gospel to life and not to distract from Jesus.
Yeah.
So there's no one rule, but nobody should get up and go, okay, I got to go to the Catholic Register and find a joke or whatever, that wherever people find jokes. And I think that if we do that, it can come across as kind of stale.
Yeah, I like that. Good point.
So sometimes priests probably feel bad. I've talked to priests and they're like, oh gosh, I'm not naturally hilarious. That's a bummer. And it's like, no, you are not a performer. You are not an entertainer.
And so you shouldn't try to be.
No, absolutely not.
Try to be that.
And as I said before, so it's not meant to be the center of the Mass. It's not meant to be entertainment. And it's not meant to be the centerhood of your priesthood. So please don't define yourself by that. I know a lot of people can say, oh, Father is so hilarious. I love him. And people can feel like, oh, is that what it's about? And it's not. And I can tell you, I have a lot of friends that go to evangelical churches who will tell you that it starts to become a cult of personality around the pastor because it's like, okay, what are you going to do this week? And it's a 45-minute sermon with lights and slides and everything else. And even those people say it seems to be about him, not about Jesus. So I want to deconstruct that.
I think that's a really important point. I know personally some people that will follow a priest, right? There's multiple priests that serve a parish and they'll follow the priest that they like his homily and, you know, even go to another parish if he's not preaching that weekend. And I think this is really important because what we're talking about today is that every priest has the capacity to give a homily that is moving, that is powerful, that is relevant. And I think if we can really make this practical, it's true. Every priest can have a homily that's compelling and leads people deeper into the Word of God and deeper into the Mass. And
yes.
I think that's at the heart of this, Pat, is that we don't want this consumer culture of following a priest that we connect with or relate with or find funny. We want to connect with a priest who's leading us deeper into the Mass, into that prayer.
Absolutely. Exactly. And I can't wait to go through this because I think there's some super practical things that can make, and by the way, you know, one of the worst things you can have going for you if you're a priest is you can be too charismatic. Because if you have a lot of charisma, sometimes that means you feel more comfortable winging it, or you know you can get away with it. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a better homily. It just might mean that those people that evaluate you as an entertainer might like it, but it might not necessarily be bringing people closer to Jesus. So sometimes we have to have a check on our charisma, because the best homilists are not the most charismatic.
Right.
It's the ones who pray and prepare. And well, we'll talk about the things that make for a great homily, but let's first talk about three things that make for that are generally universally true, no matter who you are, probably make for a homily not being very good. And the first, so this is a do's and don'ts, and we're going to start with the don'ts. And the first thing is, a longer homily is not a better homily. Length is usually worse. And which is why when I bring non-Catholics to Mass, I usually like to bring them to daily Mass, because the daily Mass homilies are usually so short and to the point. And almost every time, the people that aren't Catholic or that don't go to church will go, that was really good. It really made me think, because it really was just about what Jesus said and what I can go do. That was awesome. And then we go to Sunday Mass sometimes, and priests think, well, I got to stretch it out. And I don't want to be flip about this, but nobody complains about a homily being too short.
Well, Pat, okay. And I can tell you, so I have four kids. My wife and I certainly are not complaining when a homily is a little bit shorter. It's a lot to manage kids at Mass. And I think sometimes when priests are not prepared, they just keep talking, and more time is not better. That's what you're saying, Pat. Like, more time does not mean that it's a better homily, more relevant, and it's going to stick with people. It's actually probably the opposite.
Yes. And that's not to mean like the shorter, the better. I mean, like, I think when I was a kid, sometimes my family would be like, hey, I hope this one's like 2 minutes. We'll put more in the basket. It's not about making it shorter so people can get out of Mass. It's about making it simpler and shorter so it can be understood, remembered, and put into practice. So it's not being crass and saying, oh, just make it short, we'll be happier. It's about, there's something about a short homily that actually can strike the heart better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, I was at a Mass the other day, and a priest gave a 20-minute homily, and it was fantastic. But that's the exception.
Yeah.
And even that one, and he's a really good homilist, even that one, I think, could have been 15 minutes and been better. You know, what did Abraham Lincoln once said? I'm sorry this letter is so long, I didn't have time to make it shorter. And often, yeah, like you said, Matt, the length of a homily can sometimes be that I needed to put a little bit more time into preparing.
Yes. And I think, Pat, that's a good distinction. It's not that I have so much to say about these topics. It's did I prepare well, and ask the Lord? I think prayer is a huge part of this too. Like, God, what do you have for me to say?
No doubt. And you know, the other thing I will say to, and again, I've spent a lot of time in my career before I started getting more involved in the Catholic Church, in apostolates and things like that, working with a lot of evangelical churches and Protestant churches, because I do a lot of work in the secular world and with organizations in those areas. And what I realized is those ministers, those preachers, spend inordinate amounts of time preparing their homilies, their sermons, as they call them. And that's different, because that's the primary thing they do. And like a Catholic priest, and man, we love our priests, because you're in hospitals and you're hearing confession and you're counseling people and you're doing so many different things, and you do not have the luxury of preparing for 4 days, but that's not necessary, but a good degree of preparation, even an hour or two, can go a long way to making a okay 20-minute homily into a really powerful 8-minute homily.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, the other don'ts. I'm curious to hear. What are the other don'ts?
The other don'ts are, do not be, and I mentioned this before, but I want to make this very clear, do not be performative. Do really resist the temptation to do anything dramatic. And I know that I've heard that this is taught in seminary, that is not what you are not supposed to be, a juggler or a comedian or doing silly things during your homily. And I will tell you, for every 12 people that giggle when a priest does something silly in their homily, there's 120 others out there going, oh, that's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really want to know that it's about Jesus. And when we're performance oriented, it can feel like it's about us. And I know, and the priests listening to this are courageous, faithful priests. I'm sure most of you are far from being performative, but it's tempting to go, maybe I should be more like them. Or you look at a YouTube video of some pastor in a big arena saying something in a very, you know, in a big way, and to like, maybe I have to mirror them or copy their dramatic effects. And please don't ever do that.
Yep.
Don't be performative. Okay. The last one is, and I said this earlier, I mean, and I'm going to use the word, this is a horrible word. It's painful, but it's real. And that is, don't be boring. Now, When I say that, I don't mean boring like the 13-year-old kid that doesn't understand the mass and goes, I'm bored at mass. I mean, there are people that are bored with some of the most amazing things because they don't understand the beauty of it or the truth of it. I'm talking about people that come to mass because they really want to receive and experience Jesus, and they find themselves nodding off or drifting or thinking about other things during the homily. And that is not their fault. It really is something that we as when you priests, but we, because I'm with you, that's really up to us. We cannot allow our homilies to be boring because we're speaking about the most important thing in the world. And if it's boring, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. So let's realize it. Longer isn't better. Performative is never good. Boring is a big problem.
So boring, that it's a very subjective thing. Boring, right? One person could find this boring. Like when we talk about boring, and you talk about this a lot with CEOs that are leading meetings, right? Meetings cannot be boring, right? What makes a meeting not boring? And does that have any connection to a homily not being boring?
Oh, that's a great question, Matt. And we didn't prepare for this. You know what makes a meeting boring is the same thing that makes a movie boring. Now, a meeting is not entertainment. So when I compare it to a movie, I'm not saying it's about entertaining. It's got to be compelling because there's something at stake. This morning, the homily the priest gave. So the gospel today was about Lazarus. Whoa, Lazarus, you know, and like, you know, he's saying to, who's he saying to? Abraham? Who does Lazarus appeal to?
Yeah, Abraham.
Right. And he says, it's the rich man says, send Lazarus over here to put his finger in water to dip on my tongue and let me go back and tell everybody. And the consequences of us not obeying Jesus are very real. And so the priest brought that to light, and he did it in a very personal way about the times he's wasted when he could have been serving somebody else and obeying Jesus. And he talked about that. And so there's nothing boring about that because the stakes are high. I felt like, oh, I don't want to be disobedient. I don't want to walk by that person on the street and be cold to them. I don't want to save up money for myself and not do the thing Jesus said. And he told that story in a way that was so compelling because the stakes are high.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that Jesus says in the Bible, the stakes are high.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to the H word, the other H word, which is hell. It's like there is a consequence of us exercising our free will that God gave us and turning away from him. And if that's always there, and I'm not saying that it's always saying, well, fear hell, fear hell, fear hell, but the beauty and the truth and the goodness of the gospel is so compelling and so important in our lives, it should never be boring. And if we're writing a homily and we are thinking it's going to be boring, and other people are reading it thinking it's going to be boring, then by all means, change it. Because there is nothing boring about Jesus.
Yep. Pat, and I love that. The stakes are high. I think that's a great context to say, okay, how are we going to now move into practical ways that you can make your homily less boring, less performative, less those things? So stakes are high, but we have some practical suggestions of how to do this.
Yes. I can't wait. I love talking about this. So the first one is this. You must be passionate. You must be passionate, not performative, not inauthentically passionate. You must demonstrate that you have real conviction about what you're saying. Because if you don't, even if you feel it, but you decide to speak in a way that doesn't show any conviction, there's no way that the people listening to you can feel the stakes. They can feel how it's not going to be compelling. And again, that's not performative. It's just when you talk to people, I've seen priests read a homily with conviction and passion. You know, they might have said, hey, I just read this great essay, this great homily, and I want to read it to you because I feel like it's so good. And then they read it with conviction. So it's not about being performative at all. It's about demonstrating that the things that you are saying come from your heart, not your head.
Yeah, and, Pat, I think that's such an important point that it's not teaching. Homilies aren't about teaching necessarily. You can incorporate some teaching, but it's much more, preaching is different than teaching, right? You are preaching at these times. And I think often, you know, if you're a priest that maybe is, you know, intellectually driven and you have a lot of information to share, this is probably one that you really need to work on. It's great that you have that information, but it needs to be shared in a very passionate way. And I think that's a really important distinction, Pat. We're not just about forming the minds, we're about forming the hearts. And a homily can do that. A great homily can do that.
Yeah. You know, my son has a teacher, because you said teaching. I thought, yeah, no teacher should even be boring, but especially not a preacher. But my son has a teacher, Mr. Boyle, who teaches math. And he is passionate about his students and about math. And so the class is not boring, you know? And now that's math, which frankly, plenty of people do find to be slightly boring. Well, there's nothing at all boring about the gospel. There's nothing boring about our faith.
Right.
And you know, Jesus never mailed in like, oh, I'm going to do the parable of the sower. Okay, so there's the seed and you throw it on this thing. Well, I think you guys know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? It's like, and the apostles, they were never bored. And so they were always, they had conviction and passion.
Yep.
And we have to let that out. And if we're finding ourselves going to the, to speak, to say the homily, or preparing it actually, and we're not having passion about that, that's where, Matt, we just got to pray and say, Jesus, please let my love for you show in the way I speak.
Yeah, Pat, I'm just reminded of, I think it's Pope Paul VI, and not to get, you know, church, go back to church documents. I'm kind of like hesitant to say this because we're just
talking about it,
but it's so relevant for this conversation. He says that modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses.
Yeah.
And to your point, your son, there's a reason why teachers, and I think back on what were the best teachers, that what are the things that I even still remember about my childhood education? It's teachers that were passionate about what they taught and passionate about not just the exchange of information, but
right,
the deeper understanding and the change that it can bring to our lives. So I think that's just an important thing that people, especially modern man in these times, we listen much more willingly to witnesses. And that has to be a driving force, I think, for every priest as he's preparing his homilies.
That, I love it. You're a preacher, not a teacher.
Yeah.
And go up there and say, God, help me preach your word, not just convey word, convey information. Okay,
yeah.
So passion is important. And by the way, people have different personalities, different cultures, different nationalities. So this is not about doing it outside of your own style. But every human being I've ever met, other than probably some people with very, very, very serious personality disorders or on the spectrum, have the capacity for displaying passion in their own personality. So let that be. Let people see that you're passionate about Jesus and his word. Okay, that's the P. And this is going to spell a little acronym to make it easier. The second one is O, and that is be organized. Be organized. And this just means sit down and ask yourself, okay, what are the two or three or four points I'm going to make and how do they flow? Point A leads to point B, leads to point C, and then I'm going to do that. Because a little bit of organization, and I'm not saying a ton of organization. I don't think you have to memorize everything or read from cards, or some people prefer that. It's just know the flow, because if you get out there, and you mentioned this before, and we wander and we kind of just follow our nose, if we're wandering and we know what we're trying to say, the people in the pews are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more than anything, Matt, when I'm at Mass, I get really confused and frustrated when I feel like, I think he's just making this up as he goes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, did you intend for this to lead anywhere? Or are you just pulling these stories out of your ear and I don't know how to follow you?
Yeah. And Pat, we said it earlier, don't wing it. And too often I find myself at Mass and I'm wondering the same thing. I'm like, okay, we're getting ready to land on a point and boom, we take back off for another thing. And it's like, is this stream of consciousness that we're experiencing? Or is this organized and enough, to your point, organized enough that we know where we're going, the points that we're trying to make?
You know something, Matt? This is not part of the little model we're going over, but I just thought of something. And my pastor, Father Matthew, he recently came to Mass and he said, hey, everybody, I just got out of a retreat and then I had to go to the hospital. And I have to tell you that I have not even thought, I'm hearing this gospel for the first time right now. Because he had an emergency, that the thing he was supposed to prepare. And he said that at the beginning, said, so I do not have anything prepared. And I've just encountered this gospel as I read it. You know what that did? That allowed us to go, oh, wow, he shared that with us. And so then he could be like, so let me just say a few things that strike me right now. What I've found in my own speaking, if I let the audience know what I'm thinking, it really helps me relax and it makes them part of my talk. So if I go up there and say, hey, I didn't get a chance to prepare and I'm kind of nervous, or man, as I was preparing this gospel, I thought, I am so passionate about this one thing. Or, you know, as today I was felt a little distracted because of things going on. When you tell people that, suddenly you've broken the wall between you and them and they're in it with you. So even if you didn't have a chance to prepare once and you told people that, they're like, oh, we're rooting for you, Father. What do you got for us? And by the way, nobody faulted him for only giving a 4-minute sermon or homily that day because we knew the situation it was in. And I'll tell you what, it was a good homily because it was right from his heart.
Right. Okay. Pat, I think that's such an important point with priests being real and vulnerable and human. I think oftentimes, you know, organized does not mean robotic by any means or, you know, going up and, you know, delivering bullet points perfectly. That's not what we're talking about because passionate is the first, right? Passionate and organized. It simply means that you have some clarity of where you're going and how you're trying to navigate your homily, what point you're trying to land on so that people can actually implement it and do those things. So I think humanity is such an important thing and it's so compelling, a priest that's being human and sharing about his life, sharing what's going on before he stepped up to start saying that mass, right? There's so much power in a priest being human.
Yep, I agree. So be passionate, be organized. The third one is be understandable. And what I mean by there's two kinds of understandable here, and this is the least important of the four, but it does matter. It does matter. And both, you need to be understandable in your vocabulary and in your language. And what I mean by that is, it's so easy. You know, most of the people that go to Mass, especially on a Sunday, are not super well catechized, you know? And that's just the reality, and that's the journey they're on. And so when we say things like kerygma or encyclical or church fathers, the truth is, I just want to say, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't know what a papal encyclical really is. They don't know what kerygma is. And they don't, like, the church fathers, who are they? Is that like Peter and Paul? You know, and we have to know that we're speaking to people who are coming to us without a great deal of catechesis, if you will.
Right.
And we can lament that, but what we have to do is meet them where they're at. And if we do use a word, let's explain it to them. And what a great thing. Now, I'm going to say something about the church fathers. And for those of you that don't know, these are the people that came after Peter and Paul, but kind of knew them or knew of them. And then they did a lot of the writing before the Bible was done. So if you ever hear people talk about the church fathers, that's what we mean. None of the people in the pews who know what the church fathers is are going to be mad at you for doing that. Mm-hmm. And all the rest of them are going to go, thank you. Because every time somebody uses that, I think, oh, I'm so bad that I don't know what that means. So please be careful with vocabulary. The other one is language. We have a lot of priests that come from other countries. And God bless them. And amazing that so many priests from other countries are coming here. We're like mission territory now, right?
Right.
And it's really worthwhile for them to realize, first of all, just because you don't speak perfect English doesn't mean that you're not going to have a great homily, unless people just can't understand you. And then it means go over your homily with somebody and say, are there words in here I'm pronouncing wrong? Are there things here that they're just not going to understand? And I know that seems so perfunctory and so tactical, but I have gone to masses before and just thought, I don't know what this priest is saying. And I felt guilty because I was frustrated. And I talked to another priest and they said, no, the homily is really important. They have to communicate it in a way that you can understand. And so that for our beloved priests who's English in this case, I mean, and similarly, if you're doing a Spanish mass and you learn Spanish, sometimes I think it'd be better to have somebody go over with you and say, give me the words I can actually use than trying to be too fancy. So understandable matters.
Yeah. And you already mentioned this, that there's two parts to this, two pieces to understandable. It's word choices and language. And I think sometimes word choices, priests need feedback on that too, right? It's literally like sitting down with someone. Let's say you have a youth group. I wonder if like you could get one or two younger people to sit and just run it by them. Like, is this making sense? Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And I think feedback is such an important thing, homilies, and we should welcome that. And I think a lot of times we're afraid to hear what people have to say if they're honest.
I'm gonna talk about that after we go to our fourth one, Matt.
Oh, great.
I want to do that because I wrote that just before we started the podcast. I thought I gotta say this, so we're gonna get to that. The last one. So we have POU, and the last. So it's be passionate, be organized, be understandable, and the last one is an R. So it's pour. Pour into your homilies. Be relevant, and that means help people understand how what you've just said, how they can go act on it, relevant to their lives. And every homily I've ever heard can be made relevant. And so what we've said here, today's homily is so go out there and find more people that are poor in money, in food, in spirit. Find the Lazarus outside your gate. And what can you do? Do one more thing this week that you can do. You know, every homily can lead to, so I want you to go and do this. Because Mass is not meant to be our hourly obligation. It's meant to be the filling station where we go out now and live our lives. And so if you can always say, so what would somebody do with what I just communicated to them? How would this actually change their actions? I think that's a good thing. So pour into your homilies. Be passionate. Be organized just a little bit. Be understandable. Take a little time to make sure. And be relevant. Like, what's the thing you want to send them off with? And if you do those things, no matter your personality, anything else, and if you avoid making them too long, and making them performative or boring, I think they won't be if you do those four things.
Pat, I can't help but think of this. Every priest on this podcast listening now, like, rank yourself or rate yourself on POUR, passionate, organized, understandable, relevant, a self-awareness around these things, right? Maybe you're really passionate, but not that organized. Or maybe you're relevant, but not that passionate. I don't know. It's just self-awareness goes a long way with some of these things. And I think you're going to make this point in just a second, but I think getting feedback from others too really helps us with our self-awareness and there is a growth rate we need.
And I just want to remind people, everybody's got areas to improve in these things. I'm not a priest, so I can't relate, but I do speak and I know which of these things I don't do that well. And if I can say, hey, this is the one I need to improve on the most, people are going to notice. But what I do want to say is this, is find two or three people in your parish. And I know people have said this to priests before, but that you trust, the kind that could say, Father, you got something in your teeth, or Father, gosh, you're kind of grumpy today. You know, the kind of people that you have a relationship with that will actually give you feedback, and ask them to be really constructive. And that means comfortable with criticism about what you could do differently. And enjoy that process, because that's, you know, I mean, we know in the Bible, it says God, you know, disciplines those he loves. And let people love you enough to give you feedback, but people that you trust. Because, you know, when you walk out of first of all, don't try to please everybody outside the church, the homilies. Like, Father, I think you shouldn't have said this, or I think you should do this. I don't know why I always do that voice. I always picture some lady that's been there for 80 years, and she's like, you know. But the thing is, so you're not trying to please people. It's not consumerism. You're trying to ask some people that understand what you're trying to do to give you feedback about that. Or maybe even to help you as you prepare. It's not just feedback after the fact. It's like, hey, here's my outline. What do you think? Which part of this do you think might not land? So do that, but commit to finding two or three people that will do that for you on a regular basis. It's probably 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after, and that's about it.
Pat, I think that's such an important point. I've heard of priests, you know, if you serve a parish or multiple parishes and there's multiple priests involved in a parish, really praying together around what the message is for this week and what does God have for our parish. And I think that's an awesome thing. If you serve with another priest, or maybe you don't even have to serve with them, maybe you have a priest friend that you get together with once a week, why not talk about, you know, preparation for your Sunday homily and what's been coming up in prayer? That's just one idea. A second one is for teams, for pastors that have leadership teams, right? They're the few parishes that I'm coaching, Pat, and the leadership team will make homilies a part of their conversation on a weekly basis, right? Father has their trust. They're looking out for him. They're giving feedback and input in a good place out of love for him and for their parish. And it's amazing how much when you're in that trusted relationship, how much honest feedback and growth can happen just by having a brief conversation every week about how are our homilies? Are they resonating with our people? Are they passionate? Are they relevant? Or are there ways that we can make them more relevant for our parishioners?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. And I'm just trying to think like, gosh, if I'm a priest, what am I thinking? I'm thinking, one, that might be painful. Two, how much time is that going to take? And the thing is, it doesn't take that much time. Literally, if you just started by saying, can I spend 15 minutes with you going over what I'm going to speak about? Well, let's look at the readings. And here's what I was thinking about saying. And do you have any thoughts? And usually somebody will go, what, I don't quite get that. Or what about this? Isn't that interesting? And most priests will go, wow, yeah, that is. And they're going to go, wow, there's a lot of goodness that can come out of that. You know, I will admit something. We got a new priest in our parish, a dear priest, a wonderful man. I love this guy. And the first two masses he preached at, and I had my kids there. And when your kids are there, you're just like, gosh, I want them to listen. And he wandered. His homilies were bad. They were just really bad. And one day, I can't believe it, I texted the pastor, and I'm friends with them all. And I said, oh, we got to work with Father. His homilies are not that good. And Father was like, he did not want to really have that conversation with him. And 2 weeks later, that priest came to me, the new priest, after Mass and said, Pat, I really want your feedback about my homilies. And for that matter, about anything else I'm doing, because I don't know how I'm perceived and I don't know how, if it's coming across, can you please help me? And I was able to actually tell him like, hey, I think sometimes you wander. And I think sometimes if you just stuck to one point, and he goes, oh, I heard that once before. Yeah, that would be really helpful. And I thought, what a great, he came to me so humbly. And, but what you can't do is just rely on people as you're walking out of church, because what they're going to say is, if you did a homily that's not very good, you know what people say? They say, nice homily, Father.
Right.
We got to realize no people in the church, in the pews. You really need to put them in a situation where you say, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. Please give me feedback about this. I will love you if you give me something I can do better.
Yeah, Pat, and that invitation for a priest to say that goes a long way. I want to just, you know, think about the people who are listening to this podcast. They support a courageous pastor. They work with him. They're on his staff or on his leadership team. And I'm just thinking about that person that's like, man, if Father heard this or he had more self-awareness on how his homilies could be better. You know, I'm just putting myself in their perspective. And I just want to share a couple thoughts on that. My pastor is brilliant. He's a dear friend of mine. And I asked him at some point if he was open to just some honest feedback. And this isn't that hard to say, but it was hard. I don't know why it was hard for me, but I just said, you know, you're brilliant and you obviously take your homilies to prayer and you just really feel like he's, you know, connecting with the Lord and what does he have at any given homily, but he would quote saints or books or things like that. And I said, my attention span, and I think the average person, like you start reading a quote and it's like, I only start listening halfway through the quote. So just repeat it. If you're trying to make a point using that quote, repeat it so that it really lands and people can really hear it. And he was like, oh, that's awesome. I can totally do that. And it's funny. I'll see him at Mass and sometimes he'll look at me when he's repeating something. And I'm like, way to go. we need to hear it twice just so that it lands, especially if it's a point that you're building off of. So there's just, I wonder though, for people that are hesitant to give that feedback, they're like, I wonder how Father's going to receive that. What do you think about that, Pat? How do you initiate this conversation with a priest?
Well, I think this is where a priest has to really invite it. And he has to invite it from people he trusts. And let them know what he's trying to do. It's not just like, hey, what do you think of my homilies? You know, that's not the best way to do it, because some people will give you bad advice because they think it should be, you should tell more jokes, you know? So it's not about listening to the masses. It's about really trying to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But for the rest of us, I mean, there's very few people that are going to go up and give advice. I mean, you and I do this for a living, Matt. And I went to Mass once. I was up in Seattle visiting for something. And I went to Mass and there was this dear Vietnamese priest and he read the homily. He was a dear priest and he read the homily well, but he would literally read in the homily, he would say, dear brothers and sisters, and so brothers and sisters, and so brothers and sisters. And he didn't look up during that part. And afterward, I say, hey, Father, can I talk to you? When you're doing that, when it comes to the part where it says, so brothers and sisters, I think if you looked up at people, they would go like, oh, you're here with us. You're doing this. He smiled at me and he gave me a hug.
Wow.
But very few of us feel like we can do that because you're a priest and we're so, we really do look up to our priests and we think, who am I to give them that feedback?
Right.
And so find the people, tell them you really want them to be tough on you and to help you because that's an act of love. And don't leave it up to some person in the pews to have that courage because it might be the wrong ones.
Right.
More jokes, Father. Here's a book. Great jokes for homilies, 101.
And Pat, I think just it's an important point to make that this is not about pleasing everyone, like you said. It's not about like accommodating their preferences even, right? This is about what is God calling you as the priest, the spiritual father, you know, celebrating this mass, what is he asking you to share with your people? And the poor model simply helps you discern that and prepare well and invite God into what you're about to say and the homily you're going to deliver. So I think that's at the heart of this. It's, and you can tell, Pat, you know, when a priest has prayed about it and prepared. So the laity, we can tell.
And just know, Father, we are not evaluating you. We're rooting for you.
Yes.
We're rooting for you because we love you. And we're not going to make this any longer than it needs to be. But we hope that was helpful. I want to encourage, if you got something good out of this, if you're a priest, a bishop, a seminarian, a pastor, a newly ordained priest, or somebody works in a parish with priests, I want to encourage you to share this if you think it's helpful with others. All we're trying to do is encourage our beloved priests, help them in practical ways. And we pray and hope that this has served you well. So thank you for joining us.
And Pat.
Yes.
One last thing I need to say is we've heard from a couple priests that are listening to this podcast. We love hearing from you, priests. So please email us info@upstreampodcast.com. Again, that's info@upstreampodcast.com. If you have any questions, if you have any feedback, if you have any topics you want us to talk about, we would love to hear from you. So please shoot us an email.
And let's close in prayer. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, thank you for our priests. Thank you for the priesthood and their vocations. We ask you to help us to help them, to love them, to let them know they're loved so that they can preach the word and bring people to you in an increasingly confused world. We love you, God, and we ask St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, to pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.
God bless you. We love you.